when my wife called out that number, I gave her a little bit of a look, because it's laying open right there in that songbook, and I wondered if she looked over and saw it and got it right then, because I had intentions of starting off this evening with that song. So I hope that you paid attention enough to it to pick up on most of those words. I remember when the Lord spoke to my soul, the heavy burden from me that rolled away. Gracious words that he spoke about being whole. And at that point, the songwriter said, I settled it forever. I no longer walk the ways of sin, daily tread the paths of right, righteousness. Since the day the Lord has come my life to bless, I've settled the question. I will choose the holy joys that always last and reject sin's pleasures that will soon be past. To the treasures of true worth, I'm holding fast. The fourth verse really brings it down, though. I mean, it's easy to sing those first three. The fourth one kind of brings it into a different context. When it says, others may deny the Lord and live in sin. It's hard to go it alone. It's hard to go alone. Somebody that I've been communicating with recently that contacted me or us by way of the Facebook page, transferred that conversation over to my personal text so Edward didn't have to be notified every time that I text him and every time he texts me back. But carried it on into the regular phone texting. And he was texting me this morning, and I, you know, had to tell him, I said, you know, I'm fixing to go to church. When he said, have fun. I don't know what he knows about church. I haven't got to the bottom of all of that yet. Have fun. I said, I don't really look at it as fun. I look at it as delight to be in God's presence, to worship together with God's people. I look at it as a delight and a joy. I don't look at it in the sense of fun. Now, I think that delight is fun, but I wanted to be careful that I didn't carry that that image of just coming because it's fun over to him. But it's a gathering to build us so that I'm not going alone. Because we do have an enemy that would do everything he can to discourage and defeat and destroy us, make us think we're going at it alone. Others may deny the Lord and live in sin, but the race that I have entered, I must win. Through the pearly gates I mean to enter in. Friends and family over there, I anticipate seeing them sometime. If you have your Bible with you, want to turn to Daniel chapter 3. I want to leave you with a pretty simple thought this evening. Daniel chapter 3, you know the story here in the book of Daniel. Daniel has stepped up in chapter 1. He said that he was purposed in his heart, that he would not be defiled. Chapter number 3, though, we don't really see Daniel in the picture, but we see his three friends, those three guys that we have traditionally called the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are in a very difficult place. And that last verse of the song speaks a little bit to their predicament, that here's thousands and possibly tens of thousands of people that are gathered, and they have been commanded to bow the knee, to bow to worship this image that the king had set up. And the decree was that if they didn't bow, they would be thrown into the fire to be burned. Now, I don't know, but I would speculate tonight that if any one of us was in that position, any one of us was in that position, that there would be a little bit of a heart rate increase. Even though you can sing that song that we sang there, "I Have Settled the Question Forever," even though that is real within your heart, when that trumpet or those musicians began to play and everybody else bowed down, I just can't help but think that the heart rate would increase. What am I doing? But the three of them stood in the midst of thousands of people, great sea of people. And they stood because they had settled. They were with Daniel when Daniel purposed in his heart. They were with Daniel. There was such a purpose in their heart. There was such a settled question in their heart that they were able to respond to the king when he called them before him. Now, again, my heart rate's going up thinking about standing before the king. And then second thing is standing before an angry king. He's mad at me. And I've probably already seen the fire. And when I hear the words from him, I can't help but believe that it was obvious to those three guys that he, the king, was serious. He was mad. He was angry. I don't know what kind of words we can put onto that. But he was angry. Actually, the King James said he's in a rage. And the three Hebrew children, these three young fellows, they said, "We are not careful to answer you in this matter." Meaning that they had settled the question so completely, so solid in their belief, that they said, "There's no debate in this subject. There's no reason for me to be cautious in answering you, because the answer is simple, that our God is able to deliver us from you, O king, and from your fire. But if not," verse number 18, "but if not." So they were even prepared in their mind that God would not deliver them. God would not keep them from the fire. They believed with all of their heart that they could be saved from. But if not, O king, "be it known unto you that we will not serve your gods." Daniel Stafford preached a message. I'm sure he preached it all across the country. It's in print. I've read it. I've read it a number of times. He preached from this particular subject with the title "Beyond the Area of Debate." I've preached from this subject before with the title "But If Not Religion." One of the things that the king, in his commentary further down about these three Hebrew children that came out of the fire untouched, their hair was not even singed. I believe it says that there. God brought them out. And the commentary of this wicked king is very revealing, when it says that he recognized that they yielded their bodies. Verse number 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, and you get down there midway to beyond midway, they yielded their bodies. That makes me point finger over here to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed. Don't be pressed into the mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Such a powerful verse. And then when you look at this particular context of the Old Testament, it might even add a little bit to it. Beyond the area of debate, I believe that Brother Stafford went into a whole bunch of things. A whole bunch of things. That have things so settled in your heart that when you get to that point, it's already settled and there's no need for debate. Have things so settled that when you get to the question is already answered. Beyond the area of debate. How can we possibly get to that point? Let me see if I can quickly give you three things that'll get you to the point where you will not need to debate at the point of the question. First of all, you must have an experience that you know about. A salvation experience that you know about. Not just something that you think about, not just something that you profess, but something that you know has taken place. Now, you may not be able to pinpoint the place at the altar like some people do, and I sometimes I envy them because I was all over the altar. I didn't go to the same place every time. I can't pinpoint that. Some of us here tonight can pinpoint the day and the year and the hour. But then there's others that can't do that. But that's really, really irrelevant if you still know that you're saved. You know that the blood has been applied, that Jesus paid the penalty of your sin, and he gave you the gift of eternal life, and you have received that. You know it. If you know it, there's going to be a change in your life. Over and over again, when I hear people and read writings from people, I want to respond so many times that the spring, the good spring, doesn't bear bitter water and sweet water. It just doesn't do that. Jesus was telling us very clearly that the Christian allows Christian things to come from their lives. And it's not just a Sunday experience and then Monday to Saturday, it's however, and that I can speak and spew all kinds of stuff, ugly and vulgar and hateful, and then on Sunday be the best Christian around. That's not what it works. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it happens. An experience that I know about that is working in my life as a change that has taken place. The second, taking of passage or a section of a verse out of the book of Romans chapter 3, I have to let God be true and every man a liar. You say, well, what does that mean? It means that this is my guide. This is my roadmap. And it doesn't matter how good something sounds, if it doesn't match the scripture, if it doesn't go with the scripture, if it's not from or agreement with the scripture, God is the ultimate answer. Now, I need to give a little bit of caution because sometimes we get so caught up in our spiritual status that we think that we have an inroad to hear God's voice when maybe all of our spiritual counselors are telling us something else. Well, God told me. Well, be careful. Not trying to hurt anybody's feeling of their spiritual life, but be careful how much we are stamping with firmness and saying, God told me. Sometimes people think God tells them things that God's really not telling them. And I can point to the life of Paul the Apostle. There are some times when he, at least one time, that he had to step back. And it was proven that he missed it just a little bit. He didn't want John Mark to go along. Barnabas proves out that Barnabas may have saved John Mark from a dismal end because of the belief that he had in him, but we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Make sure that we are following God, and in that we are listening to our godly advisors. But we must let God be true. God is the one that I'm following. God is the one that I'm listening to. He's the one that I'm hearing. Everything is filtered through the Word of God. Another third point that we can look at to get us to the point that we are beyond the area of debate. We must be living up to date and walking up to date in the light of God's Word. The things that we know that we should be doing, we're going to have to keep doing them. Because when a person begins to step back from an area that they know that they should be doing or should not be doing, when they step back from that, darkness begins the process of hiding the light. And when darkness begins to hide the light because I've turned my back on something or I've stepped back from some light, I am going, you will begin to question. And that settledness will begin to shake. So when you get to the point of a question, you'll be debating. I've seen it over and over again. Well, I want to know why we do what we do, and I want to understand the things that are foundational. That's good. That is very good. Search and seek. But in no way rebelling against. Search it out. Just don't be looking for ways to get around things. That's where the problem is. Daniel purposed in his heart. These three Hebrew children had things so settled in their heart from that purposing that they were able to respond to the king who was in a rage and had the authority to take their lives, but they still stood with confidence that God could save them from the fiery furnace. He could save them from this raging maniac of a ruler. But even if not, O king, we will still worship our God. We will still worship yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What an incredible commentary from an evil king. And then for Paul to write it, that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I don't know how you want to think of it beyond the area of debate like Daniel Stafford. And I believe that Judy Williams has preached it too, beyond the area of debate or something along that line. Or if not religion, but I choose the holy joys that always last and reject sin's pleasures that will soon be passed to the treasures, the eternal treasures I'm holding fast. I've settled the question. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. Trust you have a good week this week. I don't know why the Lord pressed that on me. I hope somebody's not going to be faced with a big decision like that. But if so, stand true. Be true. God will bless you with a reward. I don't have any doubt. It may not be what you think or the way you think, but it's always best to follow Him. Praise God. Praise God. Is every heart clear this evening? Remember to pray for each other. God would touch and help, especially in these unspoken needs and burdens that surround us. Amen. Praise God. Vaughn, would you dismiss us tonight?